Certainly. Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning. And I want to say that since I didn't get to say it physically, but I said it online to a lot of folks when I said Happy New Year. It is so good to be with you as we're still early. Usually you count the several few days in January, still New Year's. You know, you still consider it that because it's still early in the year. But looking forward to our year as we work together in service to our Lord. Deb and I appreciate your prayers for us as we recovered from our battle with the flu, and others are battling other ailments, and some are still are, as we have been dealing with COVID the last few years here, or a couple of years. And we are thankful to God that He's watched over us as we go through these trying times. He's watched over us and cared for us. And really appreciate David filling in last Sunday as he presented to us our theme this year. And appreciate the thoughts that he brought forth. And all year long we're going to be dealing with this theme. And that theme, as we said, let us arise and build. And David mentioned about building the Lord's church. And again, those thoughts that have been expressed, we're going to be looking at several other things and helping us to arise and build as God's Word teaches us and dictates and guides us in the process of this all. And the significant thing is we're going to look at how important that each of us in connection to this building process are important in that. Remember, as he pointed out, if you have your Bibles, go to the book of Nehemiah, if you will, because that's where our concept concerning let us arise and build comes from, especially in chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. And as was pointed out about Nehemiah, remember that Nehemiah was the cupbearer for Artaxerxes, Longimanus, there around 444 B.C. And what was found interesting when you're looking at the text here or reading through the book of Nehemiah, I hope that you kind of pick something up, and that was over in chapter 2 and verse 6, as Nehemiah has been conversing with the king about going back to Jerusalem to build the temple, build the walls, or rebuild the walls surrounding it, that Nehemiah did this in the presence of the king and the queen. And it's possibly this is referring to Queen Esther. And she would have had a tremendous impact on Artaxerxes. She would be the one that, remember, he would know about some of the history of the Jewish people. In fact, she was involved in preserving them or keeping them from annihilation by the providence of God. And hearing about them, trusting her in this also may indicate this intimate setting that Nehemiah is able to converse with the king and make this request about going to Jerusalem and rebuilding the area. And not only with that, she probably helped soften his heart in helping fulfill that request that Nehemiah makes. So she had tremendous influence. And that tells a lot about how important each one of us are going to be in this process of arising and building. And so as we engage in this, I hope that you will be encouraged by it and that we'll see ourselves and examine ourselves in making sure that we are part of this building process as we will talk about building the kingdom of God, building ourselves and the work here, helping us to accomplish God's will and being the light in this community and the surrounding areas, as we reach souls. So it is very important. And as David brought to our attention, when you look at Nehemiah, this building process was very important to him because it had reference to God, as you see in chapters 1 and 2. God was at the forefront. So when you're talking about arising and building, what's involved in all of this? The first thing that you pick up as you're looking throughout the text of Nehemiah and other parts of the Bible, and you can see with those who were faithful, striving to do God's will, that they always acknowledge God. There's a lot to that phrase of acknowledging God. We talked a little bit about this when we dealt with Joseph and we looked at his life as we were talking about leadership, and we'll be getting back to that in the coming days in that study concerning leadership, looking at the life of Joseph. But here you see the same concept being expressed by Nehemiah. So in this letting us arise and build means we need to acknowledge God. And Nehemiah demonstrated this. Look there in chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. What's involved in acknowledging God, as Nehemiah does, he prays to God and realizes that the reason why they are in their situation, that they have sinned against God. Notice with me, as he says, as read in verse 4 there, and he says, when I heard these words, he says, I sat down. Or let's start at verse 3. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And he says, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And what Nehemiah acknowledges here is he says, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandment. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servants, which I am praying before you now day and night. On behalf of the sons of Israel, your servant, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you, and my father's house have sinned. Now notice, you, I, and my father's house have sinned. Nehemiah is acknowledging God that the problem exists because they failed to listen to God. They had sinned. They had violated the covenant. That's what it means to acknowledge God. It means to acknowledge that you have sinned before Him. Until that acknowledgement happens, you cannot arise and build and be successful. It may be in the eyes of man, but in the relationship of God, it cannot happen properly. So Nehemiah acknowledges God by acknowledging his sin and not obeying him. Here's how else Nehemiah acknowledges God. Remember, as he is hurting, as David even pointed out in his lesson, he is hurting over their situation. He's acknowledged that they have not kept his commandments. And so here he is with his countenance being dejected and solemn. And the king notices this and requests, what's the problem? And Nehemiah points out the problem. That he needs to go and he needs the help in the building of the walls of Jerusalem. The next question, how long will it take? What would you request, as the king says in verse 4? Notice what Nehemiah does. Within those few moments to answer the king, the Bible specifically tells us the attitude and the mindset of Nehemiah in acknowledging God. He says, "So I pray to the God of heaven." Think about that. The king is asking, "What would you request?" Nehemiah acknowledges God and says, "Lord, help me to give the right answer here." So he prays. That is how powerful and how quick our prayers can be before God. That's so encouraging for us. When we arise and build, we acknowledge our sin before God, that we are going to do what is right, and then we ask God in the process what needs to be done, how we ought to answer. That's how powerful prayer and how quickly it reaches our God, who is there listening for us, whose ears are attentive to our cries. Verse 5, "And I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servants has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it." And then we're told there's the queen there. It is interesting the way that these things are recorded and told us in these details. We kind of overlook that. But that just lets us know that these things are real. And no matter what our circumstances are, that if we acknowledge God, God will answer. He will answer. And that should give us great courage. Even as we are dealing with those in our lives, in our society, we're trying to encourage as many people as possible to obey the Lord, asking the Lord to be with you to say the right things so that you may do the right things, should be uppermost in our hearts and minds, that we're communicating with God. Because He wants to communicate with us. He wants us to acknowledge Him. And we're told this in the life of Nehemiah. So it's all to do with acknowledging God. Here's something else that you see. Why is it important in letting us arise and build that we acknowledge God? Because God is the foundation. God is the foundation of it all. David mentioned Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, that Jesus, and also Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And the foundation and all the building process has to involve God. If God is not involved in arising and building, it's not going to be done properly. Why is that? Because in Psalms chapter 127 and verse 1, I want you to notice what the psalmist says, and I wonder if Nehemiah may have been familiar with that psalm. In Psalms chapter 127, a psalm that is written by Solomon. It's called the Ascent of Solomon. And in that psalm, notice what Solomon does. Remember, Solomon was involved in the building of the temple, the place of worship, considered and called the house of God. So Solomon says this, in the wisdom that Solomon possesses, he says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Those are two important things that are stated by Solomon concerning the building process. God is the foundation. Unless the Lord does it, unless the Lord is involved, we labor in vain. There are a lot of religious organizations out there. They are building these religious institutions. They're not successful. It may appear that they are, but its foundation is not of God. God's authority is not behind it. In their mind, they think it is. Because to them, God has said, or in their mind, they think that God has said, not knowing His Word, that God says, you recognize that I'm God, you acknowledge that, and then you just go ahead and have at it. You worship me how you feel. However you feel. That's their mindset. And so I feel like building these things for God. These religious organizations. Even having things done this way. Having things done that way. And not consulting God and His Word. And to us, it appears to be successful. But in reality, it is vain labor. It's vain labor. Unless the Lord builds it, you will labor in vain. So let us arise and build. Let's acknowledge God in the process of this building. Being guided by His Word, by His ways. After all, remember the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 2. The mountain of the Lord's house, the chief of mountains. And what were they saying? Let us go up to the house of our God, to the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, that we might walk in His path. See, that's what Isaiah says. Isaiah says it's about God's way. It's about God's path. So we may come up with these brilliant ideas, but unless the Lord builds it, we labor in vain. That's what's involved in acknowledging God, as we're seeing from Isaiah and all the statements that are being made. And the reason why we have to acknowledge Him, as Psalms 127, verse 1 says. Another aspect of this is Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 through 6 and chapter 8 and verse 5. And these are some passages that deal with the Hebrew Christians to encourage them. And we do well to listen to the encouragement for them so that we would be encouraged in the right way. And the reason why we have to acknowledge God is because there is a pattern that God has set. And that pattern must be followed. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, what you have is a contrast between Moses and Jesus. Moses is called faithful when it came to the house of God under the old instructions or under the old covenant. Why? Because Moses was faithful to God's instructions. One of the things that when you look back at Nehemiah's prayer there in chapter 1, Nehemiah says, we have not obeyed the commandments that was given by Moses. So Moses is considered a faithful individual, but as a servant, and Jesus faithful, but as a son. So the superiority of Jesus over Moses. So he's helping the Hebrew Christians to recognize that. That what they are involved in now, when they obey the gospel, is under the leadership of Christ Jesus. He is superior to Moses because he is the Son. But Moses was faithful as God delivered the pattern to him of building things. And so when you look over in chapter 8 and verse 5, the statement is made, see that you build all things or make all things according to the pattern. And Moses was faithful in that as he instructed Israel. And the reason why, God must be acknowledged, because there is a pattern in the new covenant that God has given. If we don't acknowledge Him, then what we will do is we will go outside the lines. We will not build according to God's pattern. We will violate His will, and therefore leads to our building in vain. That's how important it is for us to acknowledge God. And that's being pointed out to us in these verses. And notice again, those verses there in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Notice what Nehemiah does. He uses God as the motivator. God was a motivator to Nehemiah. And therefore, Nehemiah, when he is conversing with the people, he uses God as the motivator for them to arise and build. Notice, then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in? That Jerusalem is desolate, and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. And I told them, notice what Nehemiah said, I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, now notice, using God as the motivator, God as the basis of building. Notice the response of the people. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. That's why it's important to acknowledge God. God is the motivator. God is the foundation. Why do we do what we do in our worship to God? Because this is what God has authorized. This is what God has commanded. This is what God demands. And we are fulfilling His demands. We're carrying out those commands. We are showing God by our obedience to His command that we love Him. We love Him. Wait a minute. Whoa. I thought love was this overwhelming feeling that one has. It has that overwhelming feeling. It's that feeling that when you encounter your love, you're walking on your tiptoes. I thought that's what love was. Some of that's there. But God tells us love is about a choice, a decision that one makes. And that decision is to obey God. That I'm going to do what He says no matter what. And then the feelings come. Yeah, they come. I know we try to make a big deal out of love at first sight. That happens. Absolutely. First sight of God's Word and learning the truth. Oh, wow, yes. Didn't know that. Now I do. And the same with the woman that we have married. I mean, appealing, attractive. And then we sit down and we talk. We get to know them. Oh, God, I'm in love with this woman. I'm going to ask her to marry me. I want that to ring true and long and hard in Dad's mind. Valentine's next month. But love is a choice, a decision that we make. And so acknowledging God means that we're going to use Him as the basis of our actions. I do these things because this is what God commands. That's what the people did when Nehemiah told them about God's hand in the word and the letter that was written. Going all the way back to even with Esther dealing with the king. The impact, the influence that both she and even Malachi had. How beautiful this is of being or acknowledging God. Also involved in that, as you go back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, Acts chapter 2, verses 34 and 36, He's king. He's king. That's why we acknowledge God. He's king. He reigns. You see, if we don't acknowledge that, then we're saying that God does not reign. We are not acknowledging Him as king, the ruler. Because He was made, through Christ Jesus, He was made Lord, God, Christ Jesus through God. Because of the work and the instruction and commands of God, He was made both Lord and Christ, ruler, master, king. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, as we were talking about the church that Jesus built. Remember that in chapter 2, it is the house of God. The house of God. And that means God is Father. And you start to look at those passages and start to make those connections. You see how important it is that God is acknowledged. This is what's involved in that. So that statement there, acknowledge God, doesn't mean that we say God and then go and do whatever we want. No, it involves acknowledging God in His ways, God in His instructions. That's what it means. So there's a lot that's involved in that. The second thing of what's involved in letting us arise and build is the whole body. The whole body. All of us. Let us not think of ourselves as insignificant in the building of God's house, in the building of God's church, in the spreading of the kingdom of God. Let us not think of ourselves as insignificant. It takes all of us. The passage that Brother Hightower read to us there in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn there with me and notice again significant points that are brought to our attention. And many of you are aware of these things. Many of you are engaging in them. And I encourage you to continue. We encourage you. Be involved using your abilities. As pointed out there in verse 11 in particular about the gifts that was given. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Until, notice here, we all. That's an important point there. That includes you. You may think of yourself as insignificant. The Bible tells us in these passages here, no, all. That would include you. That would include me. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. I was asked today, how long have I been preaching? And it's not 40 years. What have I learned? I've learned that I'm still learning. I've learned that there's more to learn. Even after preaching 40 years, there's still more to learn. There's still more growing for me to do. Yes. So we all attain. And that's what he's pointing out in these passages. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You see, that's a high standard, isn't it? That's a very high standard. And so I'm reaching, we all are to be reaching, we all are to be growing in the grace and knowledge of God. All of us. No matter how significant you may think of yourself, you still have a responsibility to grow. And grow, indeed. And grow, you can. Then the next thing is, and grow, I will. So once you got that planted in your mind, grow, I will. That talks about your determination. Notice something else. Until we, as he points out in the measure of stature of Christ, verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. There's a whole bunch of teaching out there. Some very subtle. Some very obvious. There's a lot. We have to watch out. And the best way to do that is to learn the will of God. Acknowledge God. And as you acknowledge Him and abide by His teaching, that's where you will be able to overcome. By the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, there are going to be those who unintentionally, and there will be those who intentionally. Watch out. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted, as you are submitting yourself to the Lord, God is shaping and molding you. As I submit to the will of God, God is shaping and molding me. You ever see one of those walls where you have all different shapes of stone and rocks put in place, making that wall? There might be a spot that needs to be filled. And what do the builder do? He takes his trowel, or he may take a pickaxe, or a carver, and he shapes and molds it to fit that spot and put it in place because it's important. If it's not there, it will be a weakness in the wall. Yeah. That's what God is doing with us. He's molding and shaping us and putting us in the place. That's the imagery that's being pointed out to us. Being fitted. Or you may go to the tailor. And what the tailor does is you put on the suit. It might be too big under the arms. And what he does, he marks that. It might be too long in the legs. Or dress. So forth. And what do? They mark. Then they cut. They sew. Put it all together. Then press it out. You put it on. You look good. That's what God is doing with us. Molding and shaping and fitting us. Smoothing out the rough edges. That's what he's doing. As he's pointing out, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Every joint. Would you consider that small joint a very insignificant thing? No, it's important. It is part of keeping everything together according to the proper working of each individual, each of us. That's the whole body here being referred to. Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Many of you have been demonstrating that, and I encourage you to continue to do so. God's word is encouraging us to continue to do those things. Why is that? Because we are building at the direction of God. 1 Corinthians 12, the body image as well. He uses that illustration to help us to see how important even the small parts of our bodies are. The appendix was thought to have no significance. It does. Why? If they burst, what happens? An infection, poison, leaks into the body, and it could cause you to lose your life. That small appendage was collecting poison from the body, and it was stored there. That's how important the appendix are. And so if they are not, if they don't need to be removed, it stays there, and it does the work it's supposed to do. Insignificant, as we might consider, but very important. And God uses this illustration in reference to the body there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then our passage in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 21, talks about our abilities that God has blessed us with. Don't consider them insignificant. Consider them to be used by the Master. You've probably heard the illustration that if you were to put something in someone else's hands, the tools in reference to sutures and scissors in the hands of just anybody create a mess. But in the hands of a surgeon who is skillful, helps save lives. The surgery process. That's the concept we need to understand that God is giving us. That these things that we might consider insignificant, God expects for us to use them for His glory. Let us arise and build with what you have in the hands of the Creator. Let Him use you. That's the picture that we get. So it's important that we acknowledge God and that the whole body be involved in the process. And as you're involved in the process, under the guidance of our God, it will not be vain labor. It will be labor for the Lord. And the rewards are truly great. They are out of this world with Him throughout eternity. May that be our goal. May that be our thoughts, our mind, and our hearts. In service to the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for the things that are revealed in Your words to help us, Lord, to grow and to build as we ought to under Your guidance. And help us, Lord, throughout our lives to use what You have given us in the building process to Your glory and Your honor. Thank You for Jesus the Christ who made it possible that we could become Your children, that we could serve You all the days of our lives. May we see the blessings, may we experience those blessings, and may it connect us to you as we are obedient to your will. Help us not to be ashamed of those things, but to be courageous and help others to come to know you as the true and living God, that they may put their lives in your hand and allow you to mold and shape them according to your will, so that they will join in the process of building under your guidance. We pray these things to your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can. All things are ready to help us become a child of God. Faith in Christ Jesus is required. That's what was told those in the book of Acts, and you see it throughout. In fact, when they were told about Jesus, many of them believed. They believed that Jesus, as God had raised him from the dead, made him both Lord and Christ. They were convinced that they had put to death the Son of God. They knew the wrath of God was upon them, and they asked the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were told what they needed to do. They needed to repent. They believed. They needed to repent. And then what they needed to do was be baptized. You need to confess Christ as Lord. When you're being obedient to the will of God, these are the things that you're doing. You are acknowledging God, that he is the only true Savior, and that his ways of being saved is paramount, and that you're going to follow those instructions. Because it's important. If we neglect being baptized into Christ, we do not come in contact with the blood of Christ. We're not purged. We're not forgiven of our sins. It's not until our sins are forgiven that now we are right with God. And it has to be washed away. And the only thing that can wash away is the blood of Christ. And how we come in contact with that blood is being immersed in water, our faith in God, as we are being buried with Christ in baptism, as Romans chapter 6 is pointing out. And then what we're doing, we are united in his death. And then when we're raised, we're united in his resurrection. Sins washed away. Why? Because baptism is connected to the blood of Christ. That's why things must be done God's way. If we don't do God's way, we are not acknowledging him, and we fail to meet the blessings of having our sins washed and standing before God. So, this today, I encourage you, if you have not done so, do so before it's everlasting too late. All things are ready. And then when you're raised up out of that water, continue to walk faithfully with God, learning his ways, walking his path. And as you do that, you will reach the destination that God desires for us and that you desire, and that is to be with him. And so, my friend, when you are raised up out of the water, I want to encourage you, that let us all, those of us who have obeyed the gospel, let us arise and build. And so if you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand to sing the song that was indicated.